Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hope you had a good afternoon. Just appreciate you guys and praying again for Pastor Greg as he transitions to a new place for another conference. And keep praying for your pastor. Amen. And I know he's been going over a lot of years, but you keep on praying. And for strength and for refreshment, for God to renew his body, for God to give him every time, his voice, his body, different food. I know we travel a lot. We get that, to travel, the different food and time zone. And we never take for granted people that pray for us. And so we pray for God to refresh him in a great, great way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're going to go to God's Word tonight. Pastor Greg, we talked months ago. I think it was almost 2 years ago when I was here. And then leading into this weekend, whatever, he mentioned about tonight. I have an assignment tonight, and I'm up for that. And that is really a night just totally focused. We're going to dig a very narrow path on that of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of like in our wheelhouse, what we have a passion for. The baptism in the Spirit is for Assembly of God people. It's for Baptist people. It's for Yankee fans. It's even for Red Sox fans. The baptism in the Spirit is for anyone who's ever given their heart to Jesus Christ. And so I want you to open your heart tonight. We're not on any type of shallow ground or kind of thin ice. This isn't like a pet doctrine that only a few of us have. But really isn't like, my friend, we are on solid biblical ground, I promise you. Having said that, begin to expect the Lord to touch you in this service. If you're already say, Greg, I'm here tonight, and have already received the baptism of the Spirit, then this for you will be like play it again, Sam. For you, it'll be like, Lord, give me a fresh gusher tonight. If you are really filled with the Spirit, this isn't like, oh, man, I've got, no, it's God, I want more than I've ever had before. And so stay open, receptive. But if you've not yet received the baptism, it's possible that during the actual preaching of the message that God begin to move on you. And I just want to encourage you to receive the baptism at any moment in this service. That goes for healing. It goes for deliverance. Say, Greg, well, wouldn't that, Greg, if someone's leg and God healed their leg and they get up and they ran around the church, wouldn't that just like distract you? Are you kidding me? I'll get up and chase you for half an hour. And we want the Lord to have his way in this place. And so if you've not yet received the baptism, and I'll just get into it more in a moment, I want you to open your heart and say, Jesus, I am open to what you want to do. If you're tonight saying, you know what, I'm here, I do not want to receive the baptism of the Spirit, which I'll define more in a moment, relax, sit back, relax. He only fills those who ask. So no pressure, no worry. He only fills those. He only saves those who ask, by the way. And so I want you to open your heart. I'm going to read tonight two different scripture passages. The first one's in Luke chapter 3, and that will be two verses there. Then we're going to read later in Luke 24. So same book of Luke. But Luke 3, verse 15, and these words, it goes like this. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I will come. The straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke 24, just head east in your Bible. Luke 24, at verse 45 to 49, it goes like this. Then he opened their mind so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. I want to speak a promise for a few short moments on the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But tonight, just for a moment, I'm going to assume nothing. Because I know I'm talking to numbers of people grew up in church and grew up in Pentecost and the baptism, but we're going to assume nothing. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. It's that moment following somebody's salvation. It might be a second after you're born again. It might be 30 years or 50 after you come to Christ, but a moment following your salvation, when Jesus immerses you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and my friend baptizes you, immerses you into the Spirit, and evidence of that, every baptism has an evidence, and evidence of that baptism, physical evidence, is you'll speak in a heavenly prayer language. You'll be given words, syllable sounds. You'll speak a language you never learned before. If English is your native language, it'll be a language you never learn. If it's Spanish or whatever, a language you've never, it's supernatural. Now, some say, you know what, Greg? Well, I'm already freaking out a little bit because it doesn't sound natural. It was never meant to sound natural. It's supernatural. The baptism is supernatural. Salvation is supernatural. And some say, and I'm talking about not bad people, good people. Because I didn't grow up in Pentecost. I didn't grow up in church. And so when I first heard somebody speaking in tongues, my first reaction wasn't, wow, that's really beautiful. My first reaction was more like, what is that? And because it was different for me. And I had some questions. I had some concerns. And I began to realize through teaching that the baptism in the Spirit, it's Bible, it's solid ground. But some say, you know what, Greg, okay, but look, I got saved. That's the only baptism. Well, there's more than one baptism. Because Hebrews talks about to go on into maturity, we have to handle an elementary teaching in the Bible, fundamentals. And one of the fundamental teachings is teaching on baptisms, plural. When you accept Jesus as Savior, that's known as John's baptism, the baptism of repentance. And that's when Jesus forgave your sins and you became a member of the family of God. Now, every baptism has three elements. The one doing the baptizing, the person being baptized, and the element you're baptized into. At salvation, very important. At salvation, my friend, the Holy Spirit is the one doing the baptizing. He baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. The baptism of repentance, that doesn't get any greater when Jesus saves a soul. Somebody say yes. So the Spirit baptizes you in the body of Jesus Christ. My friend, when you're water baptized, water baptism, a pastor dunks you in some water, and you're the one being baptized. You're baptized in water, but water baptism. But the baptism of the Spirit, from the baptism of repentance, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the roles change. Now, Jesus is the baptizer. And when you receive the baptism in the Spirit, my friend, Jesus is now the baptizer. He baptizes you into the Holy Spirit. And evidence of that baptism is you'll speak in other tongues. You come to Christ, the evidence there is the Spirit within you bears witness. And you cry out, Abba, Father. You are another temple of the Spirit. When you got water baptized, what was the evidence? Can I just say it like this? If you got water baptized and did not get wet, something went wrong at your water baptism. And the world of golf is called a mulligan. You might want to give it another shot. When I got water baptized, I didn't get out of the baptistry tank in Springfield, Massachusetts and say, well, oh my goodness, I'm not sure if I got water baptized. But it jumped out. The presence of water on my flesh was a physical evidence of water baptism. And God, with a stroke of divine genius, has given us a physical evidence whereby you can know that you know that you know you've received the baptism in the Spirit. And the initial physical evidence, again, is you'll speak in other tongues. Now say, Greg, well, okay, all right. But for some people, they'll say, well, and that, folks, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. Is it really a big deal? It is. The baptism of the Spirit is a very, very big deal. And we're going to talk about why. Why is the baptism so important? For salvation, we get that, don't we? Why is salvation so important? Because God doesn't want you to go to hell, for one thing. And Jesus paid the price for your salvation. Salvation is a big deal. We'll just say a big yes. The baptism in the Spirit is important. How come? Some simple thoughts and we'll pray. One reason the baptism is so important because it is actually referred to as a promise of God the Father. My friend, this is a man's idea. Someone didn't make this up in a boardroom with a blue suit and a red tie on. The baptism is known as the promise of God the Father. We see it over, and Joel talks about the great promise of the outpouring of the Spirit on your old men and your young men, and will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And Luke 24 talks about the baptism as the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, 38 talks about the promises for you and your children. And Luke 11 talks about, if we though evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? The promise, the baptism in the Spirit is a promise of God the Father. Now, why is that important? Because I don't want something from man. How about you? I don't want to get off kilter. I don't want to get off balance. We must always mark everything according to the Bible. If we're standing on scriptural integrity, it's all well. And the baptism is a promise of God the Father. Remember Joshua was up in years and was about to die and go to his eternal home. And he called leadership together. And Joshua referred to the promises of God. He referred to all the promises. I'm glad there are many promises of God. Amen. All the promises. But then he said this. He says all the good promises. The devil is in the bad news business, but God is in the good promise business. The promises of God are all good. And then Joshua said this. He said, not one of the good promises of God has ever failed. Tonight, friend, the baptism and the Spirit, it's important because it comes from the heart of God, the Father himself. So I'm encouraging somebody. You see, that takes away fear from me. That takes away uncertainty. You can come tonight in the presence of Almighty God and expect to receive not something weird, not something goofy, but something that was born in the heart of God himself. Another reason. It isn't only important because it's a promise, but according to Scripture, the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of tongues, the baptism is important because this is a great privilege. We see in the Bible, remember Acts chapter 8, verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, it says he offered them some money. He said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you. You thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in the ministry because your heart is not right with God. And we see it in the Old Testament, not doing it for time's sake, but in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon people for specific moments, for specific purposes. But now you and I, as God's people, can receive and walk in the power of the Spirit every single day of our lives. We cannot buy this. The baptism is an absolute privilege from God the Father himself. You know, oftentimes, we're not used to being privileged. I'm sure for Pastor Greg, with all the miles, and same with Robert and I, there are some perks, the flying a lot. Sometimes you get a better seat, and that it's wonderful. But I remember back when we first began doing a lot of travel, I remember I'm in the airport in Frankfurt, Germany. I'm taking a shower in the airport lounge there. Long layover. And I hear my name on the loudspeaker. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like, how can that be good? When I was in grammar school, I always heard my name on the loudspeaker. The principal asked me to come down to the office. I never once heard my name on the loudspeaker and thought, yes, it's a good day for me now. It was always bad news. But I'm in the shower. I've got my hair covered with Pert shampoo. Somebody say thank God for Pert right now. You can condition and shampoo all at once in a little green bottle. We're selling them out front of the table for $1.99 a jug. So I hear my name, Mr. with an accent, Mr. Gregory DeHubbard, please report to the lounge desk immediately. And I'm thinking, holy smoke, maybe something's happened, whatever. I go to the counter. And they said, sir, your passport, your boarding pass? And I said, yes, and I don't normally perspire, but I began to break into a mild sweat. And they rip out my ticket.
I'm thinking, that's not good. They rip up my ticket. And they said, sir, congratulations. You've just been upgraded to first class. Here's your boarding pass. Well, I want to tell you something. Everything changed right there. The sun seemed brighter. I felt as if I lost weight. I felt 20 years younger. Everything seemed different. Life changed in a moment. And you know what? They say that when you've never been there, act like you have been there before. I didn't do that well. I'm one of those guys. I used to walk through first class, and we don't always fly. Don't get the wrong idea, but now we get bumped up once in a while. But when I walk by, I think, wow, look at the leg room. Man, I sit in an airplane. I wedge my knees in the chair in front of me. I feel bad who sits in front of me in economy class on a flight because I wedge my knees in. They cannot recline even if they want to. My knees are wedged into their backside. But I walk through, I'm thinking, this is, what a life this is. And now I'm sitting there. I remember I walked in, when you walk in the economy for like a 15-hour flight, it's like, oh my goodness, and I hope I'm not sitting between two sumo wrestlers, or I hope, whatever, and you walk in. But when you walk in the first class, I want to tell you, you kind of walk in a little bit different, you know what I mean? You kind of walk in doing a dance, whatever. I sat down in that chair. I wasn't even fully seated when someone said, Mr. Hubbard, would you like a cup of coffee, sir? I said, I think I like a cup of coffee. I wasn't even done with the coffee. Would you like a snack? I think I gained 20 pounds on that one flight. I'm sitting in the chair, and there's all these buttons. I hit a button. I didn't know what it was. I'm used to forward, backward. I hit a button. My chair began to shake. It gave me a massage as I sat there. I kept that thing going the whole trip. I was shaking all over Africa. I kept that thing going so long. Fully reclined. I remember sitting there on that flight thinking, Lord, I don't deserve this. I can never afford this. But Lord, in your goodness, is it a big deal? Nah. But you know what? I just felt, man, God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the privilege of experiencing this. And I'll take you anytime you want to do it again, Lord. I'm open. I'll serve you. I'll go where you want me to go. Listen, there's this moment when God says, I just want to bless you. Who is it in the room tonight? And God's saying to you, you cannot buy this. You cannot earn this. But to receive the baptism in the Spirit, this is a privilege from God the Father himself. We mention it because for some it's like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. I'm nervous. For what? We're in the presence of a good, good Father. Remember the song I wrote, Good, Good Father? He's a good, good Father, isn't he? I let the other people get the credit. He's a good, good Father. My friend, tonight, don't you dare ever be afraid of that which God has promised to you. Because you're a child. You're privileged to be known as a child of God. Not that we're arrogant, not that we're belligerent, but let's humbly receive the good gifts God gives us. So is the baptism important? I think it is. It's important because it is a promise. It's important because the baptism is a privilege for every single child of God that's in this room right now. The third thing. Honey, how we doing? Spitting, wiping my mouth. Am I doing okay? Okay. Okay. One time we were in a church and Robin, she doesn't have them tonight here, but she has these signs. And they say, you've seen them before. You've seen them before. I'm not sure. One says, wipe your mouth. One says, slow down. One that really gets me is, it says, the last thing you said is not found anywhere in the Word of God. One night, we get back to the, after a service, we get out in the van to drive to the hotel. And Robin says, right when we got alone, she says, why didn't you look at me? Why didn't you look at me? I said, baby, I'm always looking at you. She said, you didn't look tonight. I said, well, she said, honey, it was awful. She said, don't you remember during the message when at once everyone together You heard a loud corporate, And I did remember. I remember preaching and all of a sudden hearing like and I felt like the anointing swept over the room. I thought something was triggered. And she says, honey, it wasn't that. She said, you were foaming at the mouth. I kept waving, wipe your mouth, wipe your mouth, wipe your mouth. She said, and then that thing fell off on the floor. And what it did, everybody went, ah. She said, learn to read the signs once in a while. So tonight, in honor of my wife, Greg, what is so important about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How about this? What makes it so important is because the baptism in the Spirit, it empowers, it brings power into the life of a believer. And this is so critical. Acts 1:8 teaches us, but you'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the end of the earth. Pentecost means 50. They celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Easter. And on the 50th day, of course, that's when they bring in, they gather the harvest and bring it in. And that's why it's so fitting that Pentecost, as they brought in the harvest, it speaks to you and I at the baptism Pentecost, it gives us power to bring in the harvest. The purpose of this is power to be a witness. And this is, we got to camp on this for a bit. This is important. The purpose of this is power. It's not the notch on our belt. It isn't a spoken tongue for half an hour on a Sunday night in July. The purpose of this is power to be a witness for God. Now, why is this important? Because those that do the studies of research and church growth, they've been telling us for years that most people saved more than 2 years are no longer winning anybody. If you're a believer in the room tonight, and you quote Ben in Pentecost, baptizing the Spirit, and Charles Crabtree said years ago, one of our great leaders, he said, we're living in a day in America. He said, we're in great danger of soon having Pentecostal churches without any Pentecostal people. We're seeing it right now in our travels. Pentecostal churches, some but very few Pentecostal people. One is somebody got pastor, and listen, I'm not painting with a white paintbrush. God's moving all over America. He's moving in our churches. I'm so thrilled. But there's reason to be concerned. One pastor in a Pentecostal church said, well, we're Pentecostal, but we wear seatbelts. Well, I don't know what to say to that. We're Pentecostal, but we wear seatbelts. It sounds nice, but be careful you don't put the seatbelt on too tight. Because we can say that we're something, but not be the real McCoy. Genuine biblical Pentecost, my friends, it always results in power to be a witness. If we ever separate the baptism of the Spirit and evangelism, so we become in great danger of getting kind of weird. Because now we're chasing experiences. We're chasing feelings and emotions. And I want to come to the altar. I want to do this. And I'm going to fall down. We get off base. When the purpose of this is power to be a soul winner. And again, that's sobering to me. When I hear that people most say more than 2 years are no longer winning people, that should concern us. I'm praying God. And I'm not talking about an event. Let's be faithful in events and outreaches, but I'm speaking of the lifestyle of a believer. Jesus wants to use every one of us in the area of evangelism. And that's why this is important. It's so important, Jesus said. He's saying, guys, in essence, don't rush out, do your own deal, but stay in the city. Don't budge. Don't move. But stay here until you're clothed with power. For after that, the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witness. There's somebody breathing in the room tonight, and God's saying to you, I want to so fill you tonight and use you in the area of evangelism in a way that you could never, never have imagined. Some would say, not you because you're nice people, but some say, Greg, preach sweat spit, but that's not my cup of tea. Well, yeah, it is. We may all have different giftings, but we share the same calling. You're not going to see me. I got so blessed for Brother Keyboard tonight. That guy was kind of cool, wasn't he? He just even looks cool. Where is he anyway? He didn't go out for pizza, did he? Is he here? Hey, buddy. You'll be back up here in moments, and he's up here playing and flowing. And just let me play with these knobs. You're not going to mind, are you? I'm only kidding you. But he's up here doing, hitting things, and he's flowing, and like he was in his zone. He was loving it, man. He was loving it. You know, you're never going to see me flow at a keyboard. It's not my gift. I felt awkward standing behind it right then. I'm thinking, don't sweat on the poor guy's keys or warp the keys. I don't know. Moisture isn't good, whatever. I look at the sound people, the techie people. I'm not techie. I answer my email. I feel like I got the world by the tail. I turn on my iPhone, and I feel like, man, I'm really with a techie. I'm really in, whatever. But there's some that they're gifted. Listen, we all are given different giftings, but we share one common calling. We're all called to win the lost for Jesus. Every one of us. And that's why Spurgeon said, the only alternative to the Great Commission is great disobedience. So I don't want to upset anybody tonight. That's not why I'm here. I love your pastor. I love Laura too much. I'm not looking to be a wise guy. I'm not looking to be like in your face. But I'm just going to say this. For anyone that says they're Pentecostal, but not involved in evangelism, that's not Pentecost. It just isn't. The purpose of this is power to be a soul winner. And I got great news. You said, Greg, you know what? I'm here. And just whatever. I'm kind of shy. Listen, you let Jesus fill you. He'll give you boldness. We'll get to that in a moment. He will give you supernatural power beyond our charisma, beyond whatever. He will flow through you in a way that you'll never know outside of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's why this is important. Because when God fills people and they walk in the power of that same Spirit and they use their prayer language, yes, and they pray in tongues and magnify God. And the Bible says they spoke in tongues and magnified God. When you walk in the power of the Spirit and God uses you, there's nothing like seeing people get saved. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Man, you show me a church that doesn't have a steady flow of new Christians, I'll show you a church that struggles to be healthy. They can have every bell, every whistle. It's new converts. It's unity. It's love for one another. It's worship. But when there's new converts, oh man, they keep us in line, don't they, church? New Christians could care less how cold, how hot, how long, how short. New converts, they want God for breakfast and Jesus for lunch and the Holy Spirit for supper. They come early and they leave late. There's something powerful about the zeal of a new believer. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, say, Greg, you know what? Is this really, really a big deal? Yeah, it is. Peter preaches one message and 3,000 get saved. He preaches another message and 5,000 people get saved. Two messages, 8,000 souls. Nowadays, we preach 8,000 sermons and nobody gets saved. The church needs a fresh baptism in the Spirit that we walk in power. Look, I'm all for the things that we do, the decor. I'm all for things we do to be relevant, whatever. But at the end of the day, the world needs to know the power of God. And I mean when they walk in the house. May they walk in your doors and say, I sense God all over this house. One person said to me, I know you're not here. And I know your pastor isn't. What to be sensitive to people and have wisdom. And we don't want to be weirdos. But one guy said, well, we want to be very careful Sunday mornings because we don't want anybody overwhelmed. We don't want anybody overwhelmed. Well, can I just say this? Are you listening? Are we together tonight? Have you ever known or walked into a library? A library. It says library out front. You ever notice anyone that ever walked in and said, you know what, I'm kind of freaking out. Didn't expect this. Too many books in here. Gosh, I don't know. I didn't expect. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm gonna. You ever, how many like ice cream? Come on. I'm not sure you can even be a Christian and not like ice cream. I'm not even sure how that goes. It's gotta be a Bible verse. Dairy Queen people, Dairy Queen, anybody? It'll change your life. That's smooth, whatever. I'm not sure what you got around here, but it's Cold Stone Creamery, best little cup you can buy for $49.95 a cup. You really can't beat it. It comes in a communion cup. It'll change your life. It also changes your budget in a heartbeat. Do you ever walk into Dairy Queen or Cold Stone Creamery and just say, you know what? I don't know. A lot of ice cream in here. Freaking me out. How about Starbucks? Best cup of coffee you can buy for $39.95 a cup. Imagine walking into a Starbucks, how ridiculous this would be. For someone to walk in and go, you know what, I'm sorry, but I want to cancel my order. I'm very uncomfortable. There's just way too much coffee in this place. Dude, it's Starbucks. So that's what they do. When the world walks into our churches, may they sense the presence of a God that we serve. May they sense. Listen, let's serve good coffee. Let's serve good. Let's do all those things. That's about fellowship and connecting with people. That's all. Our church has our full-blown restaurant, and I love it. There's fellowship. There's things that happen and connecting. That's all wonderful. I love that. But at the end of the day, that's not what will bring them back. But when they sense the authentic presence of God in the, because they're not going to get that at the library or at Cold Stone, whatever. Maybe unless workers, you know, witnessing as they were, I don't know. But when they come in the church house, may they sense that God is in that place. Power, 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 power. Why is the baptism so important? Because the baptism, it brings power into the life of a believer. Something else it does, not only does it bring power into our lives, but it brings, I'm almost done, it brings boldness. The baptism and the Spirit is important because it will bring boldness into the life of a believer. Now, I'm not talking arrogance. I'm not talking a license to be belligerent. We're not talking about a license to be rude to waiters and waitresses and give them a lousy tip and tell them how hot hell is. I'm not even talking about I remember one girl. We'll call her Karen, because her name is actually Karen. And she came up to me years ago. She said, Pastor Greg, she said, God used me at my school today as a witness. Karen, amazing. That's awesome. So proud of you. How did God use you? That's when things went downhill. I'm sitting with my friends in a cafeteria, and a boy came in, put down his tray, and he sat down, and he began to share some four-letter words, and she said, I knew that was my moment. She said, I stood up, and I slammed my tray on the table. I called him by name and said, you are a filthy pig. I love Jesus, but you are a pig. Picked up her tray, and she walked out to another place to eat. She said, I'm so excited and cannot wait to see the fruit that God brings out of how God used me today. My reaction, you might want to tweak your evangelism methods. You might want to tweak it just a tad. That doesn't win anybody. Some say, well, I'm spirit-filled. They're boldness. It's arrogance. It's rude. That's not being a witness for Christ. That's being rude. And this idea that some folks say, well, you know, the world, my family. Listen, this has never won one soul. Scolding people. This has never, well, Greg, I'm full of fire. I got to tell the world. This will never win one soul. But this can win a nation. Because the Bible says it's God's goodness that brings people to repentance. May the love of God flow through us that the world is attracted by what they see, who they see living on the inside of us. But this baptism in the Spirit, it will bring boldness. And we see it as we close in a moment. And we see it so clear in the life of Peter. Remember in the upper room, remember Peter? When the Lord said, you're all going to deny me tonight? And Peter said, I'll never deny you. The Lord said, no, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. How many remember that in your Bible? And the Lord said, Peter, again, the Lord said, Peter, and then Peter said, Lord, you got this wrong. If I have to, I'll die for you. But I'm not going to deny you. I will die for you. Same night. The disciples all scatter. Jesus arrested. A little village person approaches Peter and says, I recognize you. You're one of his disciples. He denies the Lord. Same night. He says, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you. Same night. I don't know who he is. Same night. Someone else comes up and says, I recognize you. And he says, I'm sorry, but I don't know the man. Then someone else walks up, a village, and points up and says, you know what? Your accent, you're with him. Now he curses. He swears and says, I don't know the man. The rooster crows. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. He wept bitterly that night. But now on the day of Pentecost, Peter, because of God's grace, see, God puts broken people back together again. God specializes in giving people a second chance. Somebody say amen. Peter was restored. Remember by that fish fry that breakfast morning? Jesus, the resurrected Savior, restored Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? And three times, I love you. Then feed my sheep. But now Peter is in the upper room. He's with the other 119. They all received the baptism in the Spirit. They all walked downstairs early morning. People were laughing, mocking. They said, you're drunk, you're bums, you're drunk, you're crazy. And people are making fun of them. You look at Acts 2:14. It says Peter stood up with the others, but it was Peter who lifted his voice and addressed the crowd. The same guy that said, I'll never deny you, I'll die for you. Same guy that said, I don't know him. Now he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter gets up and lifts his voice and preaches a message. And 3,000 get born again. Acts 4 or Acts 3, they're threatened. The leaders call them in and they say, stop, use the name of Jesus. And Peter, that one day said, I don't know him. Peter says, full of God's Spirit, he says, sorry, guys, you do what you got to do, but we cannot help but speak of that which we've seen and what we have heard. The baptism in the Spirit as our team comes and Brother Keyboard comes and plays a pad. Can you come and play a pad? You can do that, right? Come on, play a pad. And he'll start just with the keys. Amen? Listen careful. Are you listening? Are you still with me tonight? You haven't left yet, have you? You're still here? You're not thinking Cold Stone Creamery right now, are you? Have you? Someone just went, well, kind of, yeah. And I get that. Honey, got anything on you? And so imagine this. Imagine the excitement. They're in that room. They go downstairs, and they receive the baptism, and God uses them in a powerful, that's all you got. Okay, that'd be good. Pardon me for a second. Play something, would you please? Play something. It's not even that much. I'm so sorry. They belong to you? Here, buy a cone for your brother. Buy him something tonight. Ice cream. It's all I got. $8. Sorry. It's all I got on us tonight. Here's the deal. Sorry. No, I'm not trying to make. No. You're thinking, you got any more? You got any more? This baptism of the Spirit, it's important. This is important. Yeah, let's have a night of refreshing. I want you to be refreshed. Well, there's something even bigger at stake than whether or not we're refreshed tonight. It's if we receive the promise of the Father to be empowered to win a lost world for Jesus Christ. The purpose of that is power to be a witness. You know what you found? There's so many great folks in our churches that love God, they love the Lord, they want to be used, but they struggle when it comes to actually receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I've got great news. You don't need to work any harder to receive the baptism than my two buddies just did to receive $8 to go buy an ice cream cone. He just looked and kind of startled, whatever, but I scared him. I mean, look at me. I look like Herman Munster attacking a kid in church. I mean, it's terrible. He was speaking in tongues before I even got to him, thinking, dear God, somebody save me, but I'm only kidding you. When I ran back there, I just handed him the money, and he smiled, and he received it. No big deal. You do not need to work any harder to receive the baptism in the Spirit than that sharp young man did to receive some money for a couple of ice cream cones. You receive, this is a gift, the promise of God the Father. And He loves to give His children gifts, especially the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the result of this again will be homes in Carmel, this area, this part of New York, man, that slips over and can. Gives us power to be the witness that we cannot be in ourselves. That's why in our text, when the people went to John the Baptist and said, hey man, come on, be honest, who are you? Imagine all the things John the Baptist could have shared, but he said, there comes one after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He could have said anything, but he says, I baptize you with water. But He will baptize you with fire in the Holy Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. How about you allow Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? And evidence of that baptism is, again, you'll speak in a language you've never, never learned. The purpose which is for power to be a witness. In refreshed, you want to be refreshed? Begin to talk to neighbors about Jesus. Then you'll know what refreshing is. Wake up in the morning and say, God, today isn't about just give me a good day and give me this and give, but God, guide my steps today. And may my tongue be that as a pen of a ready writer. May I share the good news of Jesus wherever you call me to go. How many have ever failed God in evangelism besides me? Anybody? Has anybody ever missed an evangelism opportunity? Anybody besides me? Man, you're spiritual people. Only a few of you missed it. Several of you have, but pray for the rest of us. The baptism in the Spirit will give you power that we'll find nowhere else, power to be the witness that God wants us to be. And I promise you, get ready, because He will put you at the right place at the right time to share the message of hope with a broken world. There'll be nights you lay your head on a pillow and giggle yourself. Yes, tough days, yes. Enemy attacking, yes. It's a given. We're still in this world. But there'll be nights you giggle yourself to bed, overcome. Lord, I thank you for all the opportunities today to talk about you to people, to smile at people, to engage people, to love people. We don't tolerate people. Spiritual people, they love the lost. Let's not be among the crowd that sits in church lobbies and talks like this. Well, I don't get it, man. I'm not sure. Nobody wants God around here, and I'm not sure how they make it without Jesus. Come on. There we go, but for God's grace. Nobody makes it without Jesus. And the idea that says, well, you know, in our area, you know what, nobody, He saved you, He saved me. He can save anybody. Somebody say amen. The baptism of the Spirit is important. Let's stand all over this room. You've been so kind. Come on. Let's stand all over this room. Just that nice pat. You're playing good, man. You're playing good. Remember I gave you lessons years ago? Remember that? Remember that? You're a little guy. Just a little guy, man. And now you're doing so good. And we can all dream, can't we, church? We'll sing, but not for quite a while. We'll sing, but not for a bit. Because now it's time to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer, and He is able to fill. When they received in the upper room, 120 asked and 120 received. There was enough fire in that room for everybody that asked. And I promise you, Jesus the baptizer is here right now. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, you're here right now. And He's able and willing to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill boys and girls tonight. He wants to fill teenagers and young adults and mom and dad and grandmama and grandpa. But He only fills those who ask. From the front row to the back, would you lift up both of your antennas? Those are your arms. Would you lift up both antennas right now? And I want you not in your heart, but I want you to lift your voice and let the Lord know what you're asking for right now. Let the Lord know that you want to be filled. Right where you are, say, God, tonight's my night. Say, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a witness. I want to be a witness. I want the power of the Spirit in my life. Would you let them know that right now? You can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you. But right where you are, I double dog dare you. Say, Jesus, tonight, I want to walk out baptized in the Spirit. I want to walk out filled. There's somebody tonight. You've asked the Lord for this many times, but I'm not yet received. Don't let that rob you of what God's going to do. It's a new day. It's a new night tonight. Don't let the devil trick you. The Lord is in this house. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom in this room. Now take 30 seconds and do nothing but worship God for what he's going to do right now. Let's worship him out loud for 30 seconds. Come on. God, I praise you right now. I worship you right now. I lift up my voice like a trumpet. I worship you. I magnify your name. Lift your voice. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. I worship you right now. I give you glory. I give you honor. Oh, come on. Somebody worship the Lord tonight. I worship you tonight, Lord. I worship you tonight, God. Somebody worship him. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Fill me tonight. Fill me tonight. Fill me tonight. Fill me tonight, Lord. Fill me tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you rest your hand by your side and look up for a moment. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to give two calls tonight. In a moment, there are several of you that have already received the baptism. And tonight, God's going to give you a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. He's going to renew you and refresh you and empower you in a fresh way tonight. Somebody say amen for that. Come on. If you've already received, he's going to give you another touch tonight in Jesus' name. But I'm going to count to three. Not to be hokey, not looking to manipulate, but every journey begins with one step. And the Lord told us years ago that whenever you, and I'm going to speak on the baptism, Lord, every, no matter where we are in the world, almost every Sunday night of the year, I'm speaking somewhere on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, Greg, why? Because it's important. This is for power to win the lost, my friend. For after that, the Holy Ghost comes on you, you shall receive power to be his witness. And the Lord spoke to us, I probably told you this 2 years ago when here in the summer. He said that when you preach this message, at the end, give a call for people, a first call for those who have never received yet the baptism. A clear call for people that have not yet received, but want to receive the promise of the Father. They want to receive the baptism in the Spirit with that initial evidence of tongues. And tonight, my friend, will be no different. The moment I say three, we're not going to pressure anybody. Are you kidding me? Pressure? I don't feel an ounce of pressure. Jesus is the baptizer. I can't heal a fly. I can't save a gnat. I don't think I'd ever want to save a gnat, but I can't baptize anybody, but Jesus can baptize everybody. He is the baptizer. In the moment I say three, if you've not yet received the baptism, you're a follower of Jesus, but say, Greg, I've not yet received this baptism in the Spirit with the initial physical evidence of tongues, but tonight I'd like to receive this gift. I want power to be with us. When I say three, I want you to give the devil a heart attack. He isn't our focus, but it'll give. And when I say three, just to leave your seat and to walk up front, lift up your hands, and begin to lift your voice out loud, not in your native language. If you're coming to receive the baptism, take a step of faith. Jesus, the next time I open my mouth, it will not be in my native language, but by faith I receive the baptism of the Spirit. And by faith, you speak out whatever God gives you out loud. You don't need to yell and scream, but lift your voice, maybe an octave higher than normal. Just lift your voice. It said they spoke in tongues and magnified God. As you begin to, and again, this is where some people come in and they think, well, Greg, I'm already a little bit nervous because I'm afraid now it's going to be me. I've got great news for you. It is going to be you. You're the one who's going to fail. It's going to be your voice. God's not going to put you in a trance. He's not going to drag you up front and just grab your tongue and begin to wag it and make you say things. You just come like my buddy with the ice cream. He just received it with a smile. Hands up. You don't have to lift your, just lift your voice and speak out in faith. The one that says, you know what, Greg, I'll come up, I'm open, but I'll not tell you if you want me to friggin' tongue, she's going to have to pray. Listen, you'll struggle, receive the baptism. Open your, trust God with your tongue. But how do I know it's going to be? He said it, Luke. If he asked me for bread, not a stone, a fish, and a serpent, he gives the Spirit to those who ask. So trust them with the words you're going to say. And some say, well, how does that translate into me having power to be a witness? And oh, it does. If you can trust God, listen to this, with your tongue to speak words you've never learned, how much more will you then be able to trust God with your tongue to speak words that you do know, to tell a world the greatest message that could ever know, that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, he wants to baptize you in the Spirit of God, but he only fills those who ask. The moment I...